This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com.
Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I am your host, Kerry Lutz, 7-10-23, show 507. Well, we took last week off, Nick, and probably wasn't a bad idea. I mean, the markets pulled back a bit, but to be expected, right?
That was to be expected, Kerry. We were coming off of a very overbought condition from the prior week. So really no shocker there. Markets did back off a little bit last week, but we have a big week ahead.
All right, so tell us, we got CPI, PPI, FOMC policy meeting. What can we expect from all this nonsense?
Well, we don't have an FOMC policy meeting until the end of the month on the 26th.
Right.
But we have the PPI, and well, the CPI report is out on Wednesday, PPI is out on Thursday, and then we have earnings season kicking off this Friday. So there's a lot out there, but the CPI and the PPI report will probably set the tone for the FOMC meeting, which is later this month on July 26th. So, you know, those reports were really market moving reports a year ago. And, you know, we'll see if they have some effect on us going forward. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the Fed funds futures do after these two reports come out.
Yes, it certainly will. And look, what's the impact, do you think, on the two-year? We had this blowout jobs report, which probably upon further reflection wasn't a blowout jobs report, but that's how the state-sponsored media, financial media defines it, right? It seems to have hardened the Fed's resolve, at least on paper. What's your take on it?
Well, my take is it seems like every job report that is released by the BLS is simply BS, because it is always a Goldilocks number, right? Like this time around, you know, the number was not as hot as far as new jobs were reported. I think it missed by 20 or 28,000. And, you know, but the unemployment rate stayed the same. So, I mean, it just always seems to be exactly what they needed to be. Prior to that, the day before, though, we had the ADP jobs report, which I think is much better because it actually comes from real statistics, which is payrolls. And the number was really hot. So, you know, that caused a sell-off in the market. So it's kind of ironic how this all plays out. But, you know, when it's all said and done, we really never care about the number too much. I just care about the reaction in the market. And I think that's what traders should focus on.
Yeah. So in other words, do not be deceived. Eh?
That's right. Do not be deceived. And, you know, just take it as it comes. Remember, these reports are delayed anyway. And if you ever look at what how they even do this report, it's kind of, you know, phone calls and, you know, who knows how true it is. It doesn't make any sense.
It's a survey. This is ridiculous nonsense, but it's because look, somebody, I don't remember, a wise economist person far wiser than myself said that all they got to do is go and look at all of the payroll reports real time. We certainly have the capability of looking at every single payroll report. Smaller businesses can report quarterly, but the large employers got to report weekly, so they could figure this thing out. But instead, it becomes a survey, and then you have to reach people, and then you got bias of the tabulator, bias of the surveyed person. It's kind of meaningless. And then seasonal adjustments. Let's not forget them. The good old seasonal adjustment routine, which we know what that's all about as well. So like you said, just look for the reaction, right?
That's it. Just look for the reaction. You know, how does this report every month come in Goldilocks? How does it happen? I've been pondering that question for years upon years, and Now I've realized I'm no longer going to ask it. I just accept whatever comes out, and I just trade the reaction.
Okay, I'm buying it. I think you're correct as usual on that. On that point, Nick, because it's a government number, so right there it's unreliable. What about earnings season? That's beginning later in the week with, I think, JP is reporting.
That's right. JP Morgan Chase, you're also going to have a lot of financials set to report the prior week. And even that day, I believe we're still going to get companies like Citigroup, Wells Fargo, BlackRock. They're all going to report. I think we have United Health. That's the only company outside of the financials. So earnings season kicks off this Friday. The following week, it'll start to really pick up. And, you know, that always makes for an interesting time. You know, we'll see if the estimates this time around are watered down, or are they looking for weak expectations. I'm not so sure. Again, that's another report that comes out, you know, almost daily from all these companies. And we'll just see the reactions in them as well. But it makes for an interesting time period, because if you get some of these heavy hitters and talking about, you know, the big financials, they start to go down, or JP Morgan starts to go down, which is really a leading bank. You know, it could be signaling some problems in the system. Remember, as you know, Kerry, I've said this rally that we've seen from mid-March has been because of the financial crisis. Obviously, the central bankers have poured a lot of liquidity into the system, and that's why we've had the rally that we've seen. Otherwise, I do believe we'd probably be at new 52-week lows.
Okay, and let's not forget, when we're talking about the banks, the special fund that the liquidity fund that the Fed created is being drawn down on or drawn upon at record amounts. So
record amounts. This discount window, special discount window, is really being taken advantage of here. So, you know, they're not calling it quantitative easing, Kerry, but What is it? That's basically what it is.
Hey, it's a big deal here for sure. And that's why, you know, that the banking crisis isn't over yet. As an aside, we've got all these BRICS countries saying they're going on a gold-backed currency. You buying or you selling?
Well, I see that, you know, they have about 40 countries or 41 countries signing up. So this is going to be, you know, somewhat important at some point in time. But I don't think it's a big deal right now. In fact, you know, the dollar will still, but the dollar is going to lose its reserve status. That's a given. It's not because the dollar wants to, it's because the people in charge are forcing it to. So, you know, that's where we are. It's not going to happen right away. You know, we've talked about this prior to this, news from the BRICS nations, going to a gold back, possibly going back to a gold back standard. But I do think the dollar's demise is on the horizon, but I still think it's 2-3 years away.
It's amazing all they've done to debase it over the past 110 years, Nick. Everything they've done, and they still can't kill it. And then finally, when you think it's about to go down, then there's a short squeeze and it goes higher. It's at over, what is it, 102 or 3 right now. I remember when it was down to like in the 80s once upon a time. And, you know, obviously that's primarily against the euro. But if the dollar goes, everything goes.
Yep, Kerry, that's pretty much it. You know, so we used to talk about it a long time ago. I forget the line you used to use, but before we used to do the show so often. But, you know, we're the best house on a bad block, you know, and people...
The mansion in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. So, you know, that's it. That's what it is. And, you know, if you go back to 2007, the dollar was trading, you know, just above 70. And here we are now trading at 102. And we just made, you know, a 10-year high not that long ago in September of 2022 when the dollar reached 114. So, you know, again, These are interesting times, but this is why I use charts, because I just can't figure out for the life of me why these governments or these administrations, and I'm not just blaming this one, why they do the things that they do. It's almost like they want to, you know, kill their currency. But, you know, when you're the best house on a bad block, I guess you got some staying power.
Yeah, well, it's like try to figure out what why your kids are doing, behaving the way they're doing, or your spouse, either sex, you know, better off looking at the charts. If you could chart your kids and your wife, maybe maybe things would be easier, Nick.
I'm going to agree with that 100%.
Hey, so gold and silver are flat. I mean, silver is right around 23 bucks at spot. It's got some real staying power there. And gold was getting slammed, finished off last week pretty strong.
Yeah, they both bounced back a little bit, especially on Friday. You know, they caught a little bit of a bid on Friday, but they're range bound right now. As we've talked about gold here, you know, we talked about that 1940 level. That's still a big level. So if gold can recapture that, there might be a little bit more upside. But if the pattern continues the way it is right now, like it has been over the last 2 weeks, then you're going to start to see another decline coming in for gold. And I think that'll probably lead to a nice bounce opportunity. Silver, I am itching to get back into. I've worked out some levels with my group, and I've told them, you know, we're going to get that play again. But I'd love to see one more decline, and I think there's a shot at that. So, you know, silver, I honestly believe is going to be a better play than gold initially. And, you know, we'll be watching the chart pattern, but that's really what it comes down to. What does the chart pattern do? If you look at the chart of silver right now, this has held the daily chart 200-day moving average really ever since the 22nd of June. So if it can break below that on a weekly chart, you know, you'll see silver pull back under $21. And, you know, that looks like a pretty attractive level for me. I'm not trying to give away any numbers yet, but, you know, that's where I start to get interested.
Okay. I'm inclined to agree with you. If it goes to 21 bucks, that could be the best buy you're going to get in silver. Gold could take a hit, though.
Yes.
Right. Especially if there's market disruption, liquidation, then you could see it go. What do you think the bottom line for gold is? How low can it go?
Oh, I've already worked it out. The bottom line for gold now is 1600. So okay. that would be the line in the sand. You know, a while ago I was saying 1450 to 1500. And now with the recent run up in gold, you know, how this works, it's like a pendulum. And or better yet, use an analogy like a seesaw. You know, you can go down, but if you come back up, you may not go back down to those levels. And if you remember, now we had a big bottom put in November of 2022, and now if we went back down there from current levels, that would absolutely be a major buying opportunity. So I have to raise my max downside limit to 1600, maybe even like 1610, 1615. Somewhere down there, I'd have to jump all over gold.
All right. Finally, Bitcoin. And I'm just going to observe, you know, it's been range bound since June 21st when it shot up from, you know, around 26,000-27,000. But now it's stuck there. Every day there is a new story of a new major financial institution getting into cryptos. Last week it was Fidelity. But every day you hear it. So this sounds like an organized pump, and I'm curious when the dump is going to come.
Well, I'm in your camp. Every day we've heard first it was BlackRock, then it was Fidelity. You know, who's the next one that's going to create another, you know, Bitcoin ETF? That's basically it. We keep hearing that, you know, new regulations are coming out. The bottom line is the government wants to kill crypto eventually, but in the short run, it has some staying power. That was a very good move that took place on the 15th of June with that bottom. It spiked higher and went all the way, you know, up into the 30,000 marker where it is now. The pattern is bullish, so I'm going to give it the upside bias. The commercial money, which is what I track, they're really the big movers and shakers. They went from negative Bitcoin. Now they're positive Bitcoin. And I always try to stick right with those guys. And right now, so I'm going to continue to give Bitcoin the upside bias right now. I was looking for it to get to around 32,700 on the futures. So I'm going to just stick with that forecast for now because the pattern is still good. If anybody looks at a weekly chart of Bitcoin futures, and that's what I use, I don't use the actual Bitcoin chart. I use Bitcoin futures. You're going to see that it's consolidating. And as long as you consolidate, you're always building a base to try to make another move or another advance in that direction. In this case, it's higher. So we're going to stick with that.
All right. I'm liking what I hear. And I'm making some money on the trade here without basically having to look at it constantly. That's always my issue with, you know,
with trading,
yeah, trading in general. But you know, I know there's money to be made in trading, just that I just don't have the time at this particular point. But this is an easy passive trade that really, you know, just simple.
You got more upside to go. And again, you know, when you get to 32,500, 32,700, then you start to evaluate. Maybe you put a trailing stop in there. You know, we'll look at the pattern at that point in time. But right now, it still has some more upside. The news flow is somewhat positive, obviously, from all of these, you know, big institutions trying to dip their toe in there. We're going to ultimately get saturated with product, though, and that's usually the end of it.
Yeah, well, that's what Wall Street does, is push product and never, ever forget it. So that is it for today. Make sure you go over to Nick's site, inthemoneystocks.com. See how he's been beating the averages for decades and continues to do so. The Twitter feed's at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Shoot your emails off kl@kerrylutz.com. Put your comments on the YouTube channel below. Nick, hey, welcome back. And we will recommence on Wednesday.
Sounds good, Kerry.